That's just like the meet cute that was going on inside my head.
The stars were aligned that night. We're destined to be together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
what I'm saying. You're my density. Hi there, and welcome to this, the 27th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we're moving forward because it's after April Fool's Day. Well into spring now, right?
Not if you live in Michigan.
But by the calendar...
I saw snowflakes last night.
Thank you. That was the voice of of honesty, and that's Ryan, our podcast producer, who saw snow, and I'm there with you, Ryan. I saw it yesterday, so I don't believe that there's anything close to spring in Michigan.
Nope. Yeah, sorry for jumping in, but I had to address that false narrative that was going on.
But it's close. I mean, it's just like...
Yeah,
like
you want it to be spring.
Oh, you so do. Ryan, we were at Menards yesterday, and we do not need patio furniture, but I found this awesome table. Because you know our, like, the patio where we have the fire table and everything. And I found, like, a nice big table that would go opposite of the patio from the fire table. Mm. And I'm just like, where the heck would we put it? Because I'm not ready to put something out there on the patio, because you just know there's going to be snow coming somehow, sometime.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that pessimistic or is that realistic?
No, it's realistic, but... I mean, that's the deal with patio furniture, right? You put it out there when there isn't snow, and then the rest of the time you're supposed to hide it inside or whatever.
Yeah.
They make those little cubbies that you can, like, one of my friends has one. He has, like, really nice deck furniture, and it's all metal, but it's painted. So as long as they take the cloth stuff off and they toss it in this cabinet thing that's on the porch, and then when it's raining or whatever, they bring the stuff in, and... When it's not, it's just in the,
See, so spring is coming, and I mean, officially by the calendar, it is spring. So what we're talking about today beyond spring is we're going to talk about dating and MS and to tell or not to tell. I mean, so when you actually are starting dating, you find you start a relationship, do you disclose that you have multiple sclerosis? And that's a question. And Jennifer's looking like, do I need to answer that?
Mm-hmm. Well, in my head, I'm thinking you and I have been married almost 17 years, together for 20 years. And holy cats, time goes by quickly. I'm trying to think back. I was diagnosed. There we go with the what's wrong. What's wrong with vowels in our mouths today?
Yeah.
But I was diagnosed, and I met you 5 years after my diagnosis, so I don't really remember. Certainly I dated, but did I disclose?
Did you?
Yeah, I think so. I think in a strange way I was so naive, you know, when I think back, like, oh, this is going to be cured in 5 years. I know that. My neurologist told me that he thought it would be cured probably in 5 years. So heck, I'm going to tell everybody I'm living with MS, because it's not like it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What about you? I mean, your story is completely different than mine. So please tell.
You know, point blank. I mean, I was married when I was diagnosed, not to you. So I didn't have to disclose that, of course. But then after, there were thoughts of, like, how would I date again and what would that look like? And I've told this story to you, and I don't know if I've told it in the podcast, but it was my 30th birthday. And that was like probably a couple weeks after I had moved out. And I remember sitting on my kitchen floor. I mean, honestly, that was the best, you know, one of the best birthdays of my life to that date, because I was just like, I sat there and I stared at the floor and I was like, you know, I'm 30 years old, divorced, and I have a chronic illness that has no cure. And I'm just like, I'm so lucky. I mean, just in the sense, because that was just like, it was almost like a rebirth where it's just like, you know, I guess I never even contemplated whether or not I would disclose, because I'm just like, that's who I am. And I'm just like, if the person I meet isn't cool with that, you know, if they can't handle it from the outset, am I really going to want to be with them forever?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
So I was just like, and then 4 days later, I went to this thing in Frankenmuth, and there was this, for the MS Society, like MS people with MS, and I met this girl named Jennifer, and she kind of, that was kind of hard not to disclose it to her.
And I imagine if we had met under different circumstances, Dan, if we were at the bar in Frankenmuth, not at an MS function, would you have told me you were living with multiple sclerosis?
And you're just like, how about that, Dan? Would you would I have disclosed that to you at the bar? No. I mean, that moment, that time, I mean, I certainly, had it gone good that night, had we exchanged phone numbers, I would do an OBTW, but I don't lead with that on my resume. You know, I don't put my MS foot forward and say, hey, you're cute, you should want to be with me, but BTW, mm-hmm. I've got a chronic illness. You know, I'm still trying to get you to know who I am, not my disease.
Quick question for Jennifer is, even outside of dating, Jen, like, how quickly, when you meet someone that you don't know, like, do they ask you why you're in the wheelchair? Like, do you offer that information, or does someone have to, like, ask?
I tend to offer it. I think, I don't know, Ryan, that's a really good question. Because I've always known you. I've always been in a wheelchair around you. Same with Dan. I met you both. That's a good question.
Because if, like, you know, if you guys had met at a bar, not at an MS thing, like, would it have come up naturally, Dan? Would you have asked her, you know, why the chair or whatever? Like, would you have got there and then Dan would be like, me too? You know, like, like, that's just like the meet cute that was going on inside my head.
The stars were aligned that night. We're destined to be together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're my density.
I'm not ashamed of the fact that I have multiple sclerosis. When I was still walking and dating, I did disclose kind of straight away because, again, I thought, oh, I'm cute and this is going to go away in a few years. So we'll be awesome. Random man, not that I was out dating like crazy, but just the few dates I went on after I was diagnosed, I didn't think I would be 25 years later and in a wheelchair. So of course I would talk about it. It wasn't a big deal. But when I met you, it was just the obvious, of course I'm in a wheelchair because of my multiple sclerosis, because we're at an MS function. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how that would come up or how it would be disclosed.
Well, I was reading on Reddit because I'm trying to stay, you know, somewhat involved with the social media community and see new different voices. And it was interesting.
Reddit's the place to go for different voices.
Yes. and it was interesting. Ooh. And just really honest, Ryan, I was so surprised. There were women, largely, I read maybe 3 or 4 women who didn't want to disclose that they had multiple sclerosis. And I thought, if you are going to start a relationship with someone, I can't imagine not telling that person, unless they're casual, like, get to know the person, don't want to dump all this information. You know, kind of like if I, Dan, you didn't meet me and say, oh, BTW, I'm a divorcee. You know, that was just, I got to know you and then you talked about your ex-wife.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that until just now.
I was this many years old before I knew Dan.
You never told me you were divorced. I'm done. I just hang up the phone.
Oh, how did you all just break kidding. Up?
I don't know. I mean, just like, how do you, I want to put the good stuff about me forward, and you don't then disclose or hang on to the fact that I have a chronic illness, but at the same time, this sounds so, I'm just talking from the hip here, really, but it's kind of like, you know, if you're applying for a job, you don't right out of the gate say, oh, by the way, I have kids, I need these mm-hmm. days off because of this. It's like, no, you need me on this team because I can bring this, 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 and this to the team, and nobody else can do that. Win them over and then say, okay, I also have this, but as you know, this is not going to be a problem, because if it would have been a problem, I wouldn't have brought it up, or I would have brought it up from the beginning. And so it's just like, I'm meeting you at the bar. I'm fun to hang out with. You know, I want to show you the good sides of me. And if you like the good sides, then you'll be able to look past this bad side of me that I mean, because it's just like the chronic illness, that's part of me that I can't change. If I don't like mornings and you like mornings, it's just like, well, we can work together to get through that. But it's just like, I can't change the fact that I have MS. So if you're not willing to work with me on that, then it's just like, we can just be friends, you know?
That's interesting. And I'm thinking about the fact now, when Dan and I met Ryan, or when I was still walking, there wasn't a lot of very good medication to treat the progression of the disease. So for people like that are newly diagnosed now, and if they're single, because as Dan pointed out, most people are diagnosed between 20 and 40. But if they are single and they're wanting to date, and they're like, oh, I don't want to end up in a wheelchair, I think it's some crazy statistic now that like 70% of people will not end up using a wheelchair, that the drugs are so much better now than they were back when Dan and I were diagnosed. I don't know, Ryan, that I don't want to put you on the spot, but that's part of my charm. Would you date someone in a wheelchair?
Yeah, I don't think I'd have any issue with that. I'm doing caregiving stuff kind of for grandma, gives me a better idea of my abilities as far as that goes. It's sad to say, as it is, like the physical limitations is a thing that would make me ask questions and want to know things. But I mean, yeah, I mean, people are people. I don't care how you get to me as long as you can get to me.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't know if it would be different if Dan were the one using the wheelchair. I don't know if women, we have this like, oh, the man is supposed to take care of us. I don't know if it would be different if Dan was in a wheelchair. That's a really good question. Not to seem like shallow, babe, but I don't know, would I be able to be your caregiver if I were still walking? I think about it sometimes when you help me and I'm like, geez, Jen, would you be able to do this for him if the shoe was on the other foot?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like, I can date somebody just fine, but if like it turns into a marriage, since having a bad back, I know it seems like not as big a deal, but it does severely limit the things I can do. And absolutely. Just if grandma were at that point, I'd be like, okay, now we need to have a lot more in-home care, because I just, that or I need a metal spine. Either way, I don't care, as long as it works.
But you're bringing up issues that people with multiple sclerosis need to think about, is the long-term future.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Heck, anybody dating, you have to think about, will this person be with me for the good, the bad, and I mean, the whole schmatz. Yeah, because you, Dan, you met me and I was in a wheelchair, and we've talked about that before. That didn't really, as cavalier and as machismo as it may sound, but you were like, oh crap, I'm not going to do this.
I want to say it didn't faze me. I liked you as the person, And I think that's why, you know, in terms of disclosing things, it's like you had everything. You were so fun to be with, and you were like kind, compassionate, everything. That's like, why wouldn't I want to be with you? And why wouldn't I want to hang out? And yeah, the wheelchair. I mean, and, you know, because those are the realities. It's just like, I've got, like, on some levels, damaged goods. I mean, and that sounds kind of insensitive, but it's just the fact that I have a chronic illness and it's unpredictable. So you don't know what's going to happen. I also think you can't live your life in that fear and hold off on doing the things that you want to do when you can do them. And so let's just make a go of it. And here we are, you know, 17 years of marriage later.
Right.
Man, you guys are so much braver than I am.
But, you know,
why?
Then I would say, you know, I'm not full of myself, but on some levels, I have faith in myself. I have faith in, I believe in myself. I believe in, you know, this isn't going to become a religious revival, but it's just like, you know, I have faith that I'm going to have the people in place to help me through anything, you know, and so you count your blessings. You know, we always say it's an easy expression to say going with God, but it's like, you know, but that's where you find the people. You put yourself out there and you'll have the people to bring you through it.
And Ryan, you say that we're braver than you are, but I ask you, would you date a woman in a wheelchair without a moment of hesitation? You were like, sure.
Yeah, because my Achilles heel is I'm terrible at meeting people. I'm very, very awkward. I'm like, I've always known that, and I, you know, fully admit to it, but I'm realizing more lately how incredibly often I put my own foot in my mouth. And then I'm like, wait, I didn't mean to say it like that. Crap. I just phrase things stupidly sometimes, like when I get excited, because I'm like, I want to get all of these ideas out as fast as I can, and you want to lean in. It's too much. Or I shut up and don't say anything the whole time. So either one of those.
But at the same time, you know, you saying you have all these ideas and you want to get them all out, and that's just part of who you are. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be with someone who sees that side of you and says, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah.
I tweeted the other day, like, I've been watching Carol Burnett with Grandma because she loves that show. I do too. I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid, and I was like reruns and stuff. I don't know how I forgot, but from starting dating till now, I forgot how much I like funny women. And it was like every time I watch that show, I'm just like, her and Vicki Lawrence. And I was like, I had crushes on all these people. But I've never dated anyone that's funny. And I was like, oh man, that would probably be the perfect thing. I like creative people, I guess. I have dated creative people, but it's never been perfect. So, you know, or, you know, whatever.
Well, and as a person living with a chronic illness, I know Dan and I are not telling you, Ryan, anything you don't know already, but nobody is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And
perfect together, not,
yeah, you need, like, the perfect relationship. And even that is, as much as I love you, Dan, I don't think you would say we have a perfect relationship. And I would say it's not, I mean, it's just, is right. We have, like, and maybe that's something that people need to understand. If you're living with a chronic illness, it can be perfect for you, but maybe other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm perfectly happy and I think you're perfect. And I think
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're there.
Huh.
You know, the relationship being the best one it can be doesn't mean it's not going to be hard, but it's worth the fighting part if it's good during the good parts.
Can I quote you on that?
Not to slight anyone I've dated, because mostly it's all my fault, I'm sure.
Well,
I doubt it.
I was going to say, cut yourself some slack.
Yeah. That's part of my problem. I'm like, well, this has to be my fault, I assume, so I'll just, I don't know, shut up.
Yeah.
I won't say anything until I start dating somebody else.
Yep.
That's the thing, too. You know, as far as disclosing of the MS, and that's where we always say that MS affects everyone differently and there's no two cases are the same. It's just like to come in here and do like a blanket statement about you know, when you should, if you should, why you should and stuff. I mean, that's really, it depends on who you are, where you're at, who you, you know, where your partner is or your prospect. Can I call him a prospect? How's that?
That's
your, good. Your, yeah. Your potential. You really have to like play it by ear, see where you're at, what you're comfortable with. And the thing I don't want to lead with the MS, because it's like, then it becomes more about me and my disease versus us and our relationship. Because then I think it's so much, it makes it too easy to focus on my MS versus our thing, to where it's like, then I'm turning blind eye on my partner, not paying attention to what their needs are and what they're dealing with beyond, you know, being a significant other to a person with MS. It's like, well, what's your deal? What can I do to help you? And I think it's like, the sooner I can make it less about me and my issues and more about making it about my girlfriend, my wife, and her needs, then it's like, it takes the focus off me.
There's, you know, like the kind of thresholds that you pass when you're dating someone. I don't want to just lump all intimacy together, but like conversations, when you talk about heavy stuff versus like just bullcrappy getting to know you stuff. Like when you start getting into the, oh yeah, my family died in a train wreck or whatever, that sort of, like, that seems like the time, like, when you can both be that open. Is that where you bring up? Because you're getting into the, hey, you might know me for a long, long time kind of conversations.
I would imagine for a person living with multiple sclerosis, your body is going to betray you, if that's fair to say. You know, the first time you go out with someone and you're dragging your foot, or you're...
Or you have to just up and surprise break a date that you had. Is, you know, like an hour beforehand, because you're either tired. Yeah,
that probably looks bad, huh?
Yeah, and then that raises suspicion of the person that you just canceled on. So saying, do you like me?
Right.
Is this really, are you seeing someone else?
Or you have to use the restroom, or maybe you are, you know, particularly sensitive to heat, and you get really, really not good when you get overheated.
Eating dinner and you drop your silverware three or four times because you have no feeling in your fingers.
So you guys are really taking my complaining about online dating thing and just shooting it full of holes. Making me feel like a whiny baby.
No, not at all. No, it's just, those are the really realities.
It
really does suck.
I hate it so much.
Well, and that was going to be my solution for single people living with multiple sclerosis, is there are online dating communities and places where you can meet other people living with chronic illness. I think I have like the perfect marriage. You know, I just said that it wasn't, because I don't want people to be like, nothing's perfect. But I have the perfect relationship with you, Dan, because A, you're you. But then it's the fact that we get each other and we understand chronic illness. So if you do drop your fork when you're eating, or you put your hand in a bag of chips and you pull your hand out with nothing in it, I get you. You can't feel the lack of chip in your hand. Or we get tired and you start dragging your foot. I know it's not like the big one. That's just MS. So I think online dating in that way, where you can look for people from your community, that's a good thing. But Ryan, I can imagine it's also a bad thing, online dating, because...
How do you whittle it down?
Yeah.
I don't use any of them. I have like popped into different ones, and apparently like one of my friends told me, I thought I saw you on here. I'm like, I've never been on that app. This was absolutely you. And I'm like, oh, gross, 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 gross. One, aim higher, dude. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And two, gross. Like, come on. Ugh, just, bleh. Like, that was just an awkward feeling. So going through the app scene, I have seen, like, they have apps for people that have herpes. That seems like a first date thing. Like,
yes.
Because that's, yeah. And so, I mean, like, I was curious, because I didn't see any apps as far as chronic illness dating or anything like that. But I assume there were groups. But have you ever met another couple like that both have MS?
Strangely enough, yes, we have.
Okay.
There's.
I'd imagine it has to happen, but.
Mm-hmm. They're not as cute as us. Don't worry.
Yes, well, I mean, it's that thing that, you know, the shared experience thing. So it seems like an easy way to get to know somebody. So
there's, I mean, because we had known, I mean, there's several that.
And I'm sure they're just as cute as us. I'm so cocky. I'm obnoxious today.
But do they have a podcast? Huh? How about that?
No, there you go. You got them there, right?
One has.
He's looking for that upper hand.
Exactly. Yeah. The one I'm thinking of, they have a YouTube channel, and I mean, really.
Yeah.
And we'll provide links. We'll have links
and
to
we
some
have
of these
friends,
couples.
If you can say friends of people you've never met that live in a foreign country, but we know another couple, and they're very cute, Ryan. Very cute people, and they both, the husband and wife, have multiple sclerosis.
And you take some inspiration from them and just others that are living with it. Yeah, we could like start a whole list of people, but I mean,
that's cool.
It
seems like a good resource of information for you guys. Yeah. Like, especially if one of them's been, you know, if they've been together longer or gone through a different situation. Like,
There's one couple we know, and I mean, they, you know, they both had MS or have it. They took the plunge. I mean, they have a child. I mean, and
that's something we did not.
Yeah, we didn't do, but no. I think, but you know, good for them. I mean, it's, I like seeing their pictures and updates and everything on Facebook and stuff. And I think it's just, you know, it's like how much, I guess there's always a question of how much power do you want to give to the disease?
Yeah.
But again, I think they had to, and I don't, that bad, I don't recall how they met. Probably not in Frankenmuth, Michigan at an event.
What if it was?
Yeah, that would just be like a claim to fame. For people that are newly diagnosed or people that are diagnosed at all, you know, I made reference to the fact that the medication is better at treating the disease and you can have a longer span where you can live a normal life. I don't know what exactly a normal life is, but you know, I'm just thinking of people like younger than us and how I wouldn't want you to give up on your future of finding someone because you are living with multiple sclerosis. That would just be sad.
Yeah. I mean, because there's so much out there and there's so many opportunities and options. And so it is, it's just how do you find and meet the person to start the relationship?
You don't make it all about multiple sclerosis, like you've said. There's so much more to you. That was a good talk.
That was inspiring as shit.
That's the way to wrap it up, Ryan. Good job.
I'm sorry, man. Like, because I take breakups hard and I'm not great at relationships and all that sort of stuff. So, like, I'm getting to the point now where I'm kind of just, maybe being a solo guy is fine. I have no issue with dating. Like, it's really fun. I like dating people. But it's the getting into the relationship part that I am terrible at and causes me so much frustration, and none of the after part has been worth it in the long run. Sorry to say. Maybe I give up too easy, I guess. I don't know how to frame it, but just hearing you guys talk about it, I was like, God, just pull your socks up, you big wimp. Come on.
But it's a big deal. I mean.
Yeah.
It is a big deal, but it's worth it.
And so worth it. I think that's because we've never had a big breakup. I mean, you see things on movies, TV, whatever.
Yeah, like, some people, that's how they relationship. They're like, oh no, I gotta be mad at you like one day a week or this isn't gonna work for me. I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
No, but it's the reality when you're living with multiple sclerosis. We have enough drama to begin with. We don't need relationship. You don't
fabricate any. Yeah.
No, we have plenty on our plate. So maybe you cut through that bullcrap of, oh, he didn't call me, so I'm not going to call him.
And have like your vendettas and getting even and stuff. And I think that's, you know, but that's, I mean, then it just goes in like what we talk about in terms of just relationships, and you're always honest and you don't keep score and you just, you know that you're in this together. I mean, that it's really, you know, we always say, oh, the disease, the MS is your enemy. But it's just like, really, when it's all said and done, it's like, you know, when you believe in the relationship, it's like the relationship you have together is the ultimate goal. So what are you going to do to make that happen? Right. Versus just feeling sorry for yourself because Jennifer didn't call me like she was supposed to.
Yeah, it seems like it helps you kind of like clear out the petty BS and actually focus.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I guess because you're focused on real life stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But I would be remiss if I didn't mention two of my best things I've seen on online dating since in the short window I've done it. Is talking about the like keeping score and stuff. I saw in someone's profile and it says, I've done enough playing around and now I'm ready to settle down. And she was 23.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Holy crap. And then another one that was really great was, I'm so sick of all the games and blah, 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 blah. And it was on an app where you can both just send each other messages. And it said, I won't be the first one to message. And I'm like, that is playing a game. That yes, is absolutely a game you're playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, nope. I'm like, sorry. And like, I don't know. Like, I'm too picky. I have no right to be as picky as I am. But
oh, that's not picky
at all.
And that's not.
I can't. I don't know. I just want a genius that's a supermodel. Is that hard?
No. I mean, Ryan, how are you single?
Because I haven't found any genius super. Actually, supermodel would be a terrible job. I don't think I'd want to be around that.
No, because like, you couldn't go to the bar and get like fried food and.
Yeah, never mind. Change that. A genius stand-up comic. There you go.
Ooh,
God, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But then you'd be like there, come on, because you never take anything seriously. You always got to laugh at things.
Oh, that would be the best.
Or
so, for any of you listeners that are genius female stand-up comics, hit me up.
Yeah, there you go. And if you're single and you're looking for a relationship and you have multiple sclerosis, I have like this inner matchmaker. I just want everyone to have a relationship to have someone, you know, because not to harp on a point, but I'm so happily married and I'm like, you all need to have that. So, yeah, we'll just have this big love connection. Yeah, if you're out there.
You think about that now as we talk about the apps and things, maybe if I'm going backwards and we've been there, done that, shut up, Dan, move forward. But it's just like, but when you think about Ryan, as you had everything on the app and stuff, I mean, if you put something on the app, you want to put your best foot forward. I mean, if you're not in a, like, app that's like specifically for like a chronic illness, multiple sclerosis, things like that. I mean, would you put right out of the gate and, you know, one of those things to say, oh, I have multiple sclerosis? No, you'd want to sell yourself. You know, you'd want to put your best foot forward. I mean, unless you're like,
I guess, yeah.
Well, but you know, so I was just like, so would I have told you, Jennifer, at the bar that I had multiple sclerosis? It depends, you know, because I wouldn't lead and say, hi, my name is Dan and I have multiple sclerosis. And I was like, Dan, I'm great to be around. Let me buy you a drink and we'll talk. I want to talk about what's in, yeah, I can't even pick you up like now because you're my wife. It's just like, you know, but let's just get to know each other. Let's have a drink and whatever.
Isn't that the secret though? I've heard is the happy marriage is date your wife.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I've said before, I still feel like I'm trying to win her over.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, you can't become complacent when you're in a relationship. I mean, it's like, you don't have to like overexert yourself trying, but you have to put the effort in.
And it's at this point in time that I want a Cruella de Vil laugh and say, I have a relationship. I don't have to worry about all this. But it is true that you just have to be honest and you have to be, if you're living with the disease and you want to date someone, don't make a relationship all about the disease. Reach out to other people in the MS community, for example. how did you get in your relationship or how did you find someone? I think that that might be good tips too, is just, you know, work on yourself, make yourself have the best control over the disease that you can, because if you're not in your right place in your head, how are you going to really share yourself with someone?
Yeah, that goes for weirdos with bad backs too. That's good advice.
And A, you're not weird.
No.
But yeah, I'm absolutely weird. Come on. You can't be creative and not weird. There's no, yeah.
I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, is we've redefined what weird is.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, weird is different from everyone. You're not that's scary true. Weird or unhealthy oh, yeah, weird yeah. or.
Well, that's why I didn't say scary.
No, but you're just, you're.
You're creative.
You're creative yeah. and you're eccentric and. You're just,
you have to be rich to be eccentric.
Oh, but I think, see, and then Ryan, now we're going to squabble over little things because
yeah,
are you financially rich or are you rich in character ooh, and experience and kombucha, you know?
Oh, yeah, got lots of kombucha.
See,
yeah.
There we go. Rich, rich, rich. So
God, I love that stuff. This makes my stomach so happy. Like, it's. Since I discovered kombucha, I haven't had an upset stomach that wasn't from like an illness in 5 years.
Wow. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, and I used to have chronic stomach aches. Ugh.
Wow.
Yeah. Free plug for GT's kombucha because it's the best
nice.
One.
Nice. Okay. Speaking of your happiness with kombucha, do you want to do moments of joy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're there.
Cool, cool.
Cool, cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
So, Ryan, why don't you kick us off as we share our moments of joy?
Okay. So, I had mentioned to you guys before we started recording, Grandma had her most recent cancer drug infusion the other day. She's been kind of in a funk because of the hip stuff and kind of bummed out. And so, yesterday, we had an appointment for her to go get a perm so she could get her hair done and get all pretty. One, it was awesome because it just changes her kind of outlook. Like, I walked down this morning to kind of get her up, and as soon as she like saw herself in the mirror, she's like, oh yeah, I look good. Like, she knows she does, and so it makes her happy. But like, my little moment of joy that I had was I went for a walk when she was getting her perm done, and the lady had her in the dryer thing, and I was like, okay, we'll take care of the bill while she's over there, and signing the thing, and she like leans over the counter and she's like, you know, she thinks the world of you, right? And I was like, what? She's like, you couldn't stop talking about you the whole time. And I'm like, aw, nice. That's really nice.
That's like, so bitch, sweet.
Kind of just like, yeah, I'm just like, I'm just going to stand over here for a second, look out the window. I'm not crying. That was that was a very unexpected, kind of nice, heartwarming thing that happened to me.
That's very wow. sweet. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was yeah. nice.
Dan, go ahead. What's your moment of joy?
My moment of joy, my mom has been in the hospital, had surgery and everything. And, you know, now she has to be, you know, out of the hospital, but in like a rehab facility for a couple weeks before they can send her home. And she was so anxious about it. And, you know, just her, you know, her blood pressure was through the roof and it was terrible because she, you know, she's stressed about this in the place where she normally goes, which she was afraid of going there anyway, was full, or they didn't have the staffing because the nursing shortage and everything, and they were not able to find, you know, they were looking, couldn't find a place for her to go. You know, she's not going to get kicked out of the hospital, but I mean, it's like the time was running out, and they ended up assigning her to another like a facility she's never been to before. And of course, then, you know, she's nervous, she's anxious, everything. And I called her because she had had, it was like Friday night was her first night there. And so I called her yesterday. And I was just like, the moment of joy is just that she absolutely loves the place. I mean, that it was just like, because, and it's a newer facility, but just, it's more like an assisted living type of thing in mm-hmm. care.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are swanky. Like, your room looks like a hotel room that's all, it doesn't look like a hospital room or anything.
Mom
like,
said, oh, she, yeah, talking to her last night, she says it's kind of like I have my own little apartment. And you're just because, you know, of course, then I feel like the bad son because I'm like, you know, 500 some miles away. So the best I can do is call. And meanwhile, my brother and sister are back there, you know, making half hour, hour long trips to visit or help and take care with dad and things. But yeah, just the moment of joy that she's happy where she is, or that she found a place that she's comfortable in. So that made me happy.
Yeah. It wore on me when grandma wasn't happy where she was, like, mm-hmm. that. So I get that.
Yeah. Well, and then you have the woman tell you, you know, she thinks the world of you. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah. That was really, that was quite nice too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Jennifer.
Okay. How do I follow that? Both Dan and Ryan are like deep and have these touching moments of joy. And
you end it light, so we can just end the episode. End it real light. I saw a pretty kitty.
I made some really good bacon this morning.
Oh, man.
My moment of joy is I have worn compression hose. Like, you talked about Mama's Family, Ryan, and you remember mm-hmm. Vicki Lawrence used to roll down her... Yep. Yeah, I have worn compression hose since I lost the ability to walk. So what's that going on, 20 years? Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on 20 years. So I've worn compression hose and they're unattractive. They're just white. And not that I'm like uber fashionable, but I try and look nice, kind of like Ryan, how you described your grandma. And I was complaining to my care manager, my nurse case manager, about how boring and expensive TED hose, not to use the name, but these compression socks are. And she said, well, Jennifer, hop on the internet. They're very functional and they're cute, the ones that she told me about. And so I ordered them and I got them yesterday. Yeah, was it yesterday or Friday? And they're so cute and they're so comfortable and they have fun patterns. And no one can tell that I'm wearing compression socks. And so my moment of joy is that my feet, my socks look like anybody else. And so as silly as that sounds, just like you, I don't walk anymore. But if I did, I would have spring in my step because my shoes and socks, I don't look like I'm wearing Mama's Family compression socks.
Yeah, it's fashion.
Yeah, it's fashion. Totally,
and they're fun. Yeah.
They're fun and they're affordable, and we will link... Yeah. When we talk about this, I'll put a description or a link to what O's I'm wearing, because they're very, very cute compression socks. So little things make me happy.
Yeah, that's moments of joy. That's pure essence right there.
That's it. Yay.
Hopefully then that gave some tips, insights, and stuff just in terms of talking, thinking about like dating with MS, you know, whether to tell or not to tell. Hope you've enjoyed your time with us. Thanks for enjoying your time. This has been A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
And I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward. Hi there, and welcome to...
Oh, sorry. Oh, I was going to fake doing the music. Sorry.
I was... Okay, so lead in, you go. Are you going to trip me up again?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, here we go. Hi there, welcome to this, the 27th episode of... episode.
Episode? Oh, this is going on the end of this episode, huh?
I'm thinking. Here we go. All right.